Let's
top belly is a little bit different.
Let's be in the top of Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. I got to three lines from the top. Misha Nignas is the first word on the line. So Misha Nignas Aaron. So when the Aaron was hidden, that's the last previous daf discussed. So Nignas Imot Sinsenas Haman. They kept. Pasuk says that Moshe says to Aaron, take a piece of the man and place it alongside the Aaron, so the man was also set aside. Hidden as well.
A
little jar of the man. You're saying that when the Aaron was hidden, they hid the jar of man as well, along with the Aaron.
Hidden or stolen?
Hidden.
Nignaz, it's hidden?
Yeah.
Yes.
Bemet?
Nignav. Nignav.
Nignav, it's to destroy.
It's to destroy in a dignified way, to hide them. And
so what do you mean, Moshe Nignaz, where nobody knows where it is? Nignaz by who?
The previous daf discussed where exactly the Aaron was hidden, but they hid it because they knew, we'll see in a second, but they knew when this Beis Mikdash was going to be destroyed and take off the Kalim, they didn't want the Aaron to be taken along with them, so it was hidden somewhere underneath the Beis Mikdash.
Underneath
somewhere.
So it's somewhere special underneath Ahavai today.
Like, you know, underneath under the White House.
Some people say that they took it to Babel.
Right. Underneath the White House, you know, there's a special secret tunnel where the president goes in case of emergency. Same thing they created for the Aaron, special tunnels for it to go.
No?
Yesterday in the Daf? No, I don't think so.
No?
That what?
When it went to Babel, then come back?
There's a pasuk that says if the Kalim that went to Babel is not going to, we'll have to see that in a moment. But it won't, anything that goes to Babel won't come back, so therefore they want the Aaron to go to Babel and not come back, so that's why they prefer to hide it. So the Gemara says further, but Tzluchis Shemen HaMishkan, also a bowl of a jug of Shemen HaMishkan, a special oil that was hidden as well. Umakel Shel Aaron, Uprachov Vishkedav, and the famous stick of Aaron that was placed in Parshish Karach, to prove that Aaron and Shevet Kuna was the one that was chosen nation, so that and all the nuts and all the flowers that grew upon the stick, that was hidden as well. The Argas, like a box, Sheshivu Plishim, Ashim Lokei Yisrael, the Plishim had stolen the Aaron Kodesh from, Ricky probably knows as well, from Tanakh, so they stole this, and when they returned back the Aaron to Klai, so they gave back a very nice box for the Aaron, and along with other things as well, that too was hidden. So the Gemara wants to know, me, Gunza, who's the one who hid all these things? So it says the Gemara, Yoshiyahu Gunza, he hid these Kalim and Shemin and Haman, Kavan Shirash, Akasav. He saw the pasuk that said, this is what you're referring to before. So Yolech Hashem Oscha Vesmachicha, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to take you and all your
kings,
but I think it refers to Kalim here perhaps. Asha Takim Alecha El Goy, Asha Loyodata, Atava Osecha. So it's going to take all you and things that you don't know. Let's see the whole pasuk here.
Yeshayah was a prophet?
He was a king. Yoshiah was a melech. Yoshiah was a melech, yeah.
Yeshayah was a prophet.
So they,
it's in the Klalot, no? This is in the...
yes.
The Tochah?
Very good, yes. So take you and literally again your kings, that everything that stands upon you will go to a nation that you won't know. So they understood this pasuk to mean that everything's going to be taken to Bavel. So therefore, Amar Veganzo, so therefore Yoshiah said, I'm going to stand up and make sure the Aron doesn't be taken, is not taken along with everything else. Hadu Dechse, this is what pasuk says, Vayomer Lelevim, he says, Yoshiah said to the Levim, Hamevidin, the ones who understand, Ulechol Yisrael HaKadoshim LaShem, he says to them, Tenu Es Aron HaKodesh Bebayis, Asher Bano Shlomo Ben David Melech Yisrael. So go take the all the Aron Kodesh and place it in the house. So, Ein Lachem Masa Bekasef. So, what do you mean, take the Aron and put it in the Beis HaMikdash? The Aron already was in the Beis HaMikdash. So, it must be he's telling them to hide it somewhere underneath the Beis HaMikdash to make sure it's not taken to Babel. So, Amar Lehem, so Yoshio says to them, Im Gola Hu Imachem the Babel, if the Aron goes along with you to Babel, Ein Atem Achzir Noso, you owe them a Komo. It's never going to come back to the rightful place. El Ata, now, Ivdu es Hashem Lokeichem ves Amo Yisrael. Now go serve your nation, serve your people, and I guess hide the Aron to make sure it doesn't go to Babel, because otherwise it'll never return. Okay. So that was really continuing. That was the completion of yesterday's daf of where the Aron was hidden, why it was hidden. Gemara now goes on to a different topic. Pitum Shemen Hamishka. The making of the Shemen Hamishka, the special oil that was used to anoint all the Kalim and all the Kohen and Gedolim and the Melech. Vata, the pasuk says, Vata kach lecha. So the pasuk is we're missing a lot of psukim. The whole pasuk reads as follows. I'll say it outside. I'm not saying it by heart. I'm reading it inside. So you took Mar Dror, which is 500, the weight of 500. V'kinamon besem machatiso chamisha memasayim. That's 250. That gives us a total of 750. And then it says v'kone bosem chamisha memasayim. Then another 250. That gives us 1,000. Then v'kida chamish meos. That's another 500. Totaling, says the Gemara, shehein elf v'chamish meos manim. That totals 1,500 manim. That's the weight of all these besamim used for the Shemen HaMishcha.
For the year?
I think they'd make it annual. I'm not sure if they'd make it annually.
Have to remain that amount, like a mikveh has to have 40 seah. Did this have to remain at 1,500 at all times?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure how often they made it.
We said in Pitanak Torah, they bought.
Right, I'm saying every single day has to have that amount. I don't think they'd make it.
No, it's once a year, and then they did it. They did 360.
No, that was for the Torah. This is for the Shemen HaMishcha.
Oh, the Shemen HaMishcha.
Yeah.
Shemen Zaitahin. Okay.
So I'm not sure how. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Shemen Zai Sahin, Shemen Zain Hin. So that is Shnei Masar Lug. That was 12 Lug. Shebo Shulkin Es Ha'ikaron. So they would cook, overcook almost. That's what Shlika means, to overcook. Es Ha'ikaron, the roots of all these different spices. Divrei Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shulkin Hayabimayim. They would soak it and cook it in water. V'nosin Shemen Agabayim. They would place oil now on top of the water now that they roasted, that they cooked all the spices in. Mishahaya kolet esarech, when the oil on top absorbed the smell, the scent of the spices, haya maviru, they would remove the oil from the top layer of the water. Ki derech shapetomim osin, the way the petomim would be doing. So again, the first opinion held, Rabbi Meir thought you cooked the besam in the water. And that oil. Spices in the water first, I think. No, you cooked in the water.
No, Rabbi Meir.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, Divrei Rabbi Meir, 12 log shebo sholkim et ha'ikarim.
So you're saying some went in the water, or you're saying in oil? We don't see anywhere in oil there, though.
But we're assuming. Uh-huh.
So they mamish cooked in, they fried in oil.
That's what
I guess so. Okay. So that oil with cooking the spices, that's the oil they used. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they took water. Cook the spices in water, put a layer of oil on top of that water, and then the oil started to take in the scent, and then they removed that layer of oil with the scent. So the machlokes is whether you're actually cooking the spices in the oil or in the water. Okay. So that's the way the petamim would do these scented oils.
Perfumers.
Right. So then, this is the pasuk means, when it says, Shemen Mishchas Kodesh.
Okay. Blended, like a perfumer.
Okay, fine. So that's machlokes how this was done. Yeah.
They filled it up with water so that it shouldn't absorb any shemen. It shouldn't lose any shemen. Is that what it is or what?
I'm not sure why they would do what the difference would be. But again, the difference.
Yes, the shemen will
be absorbed.
Once they're full of water, because
now once you're oversaturated the spices, and when you put the spices in the oil, otherwise you can take the oil away.
Right, because that's why it's saying that it's just giving, so it should give tam, but or reyach, and it shouldn't take away anything from the oil.
I see, we don't want to take away, okay.
I see.
Okay, now the Gemara says, Tani, quotes a Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Bei Rebbe Eloi, Shemen HaMishcha she'asa Moshe b'Midbar, the oil that Moshe Rabbeinu had made in the desert, Ma'isa Nisim Na'aseh Mo B'Tchila V'Atzof, from the beginning to the end of the whole entire process, it was all Ma'isa Nisim. Shemetchila, from the beginning, Lo Haya Bo El Shnei Masar Lug, there's only 12 Lug of this oil, Shinemar Shemen Zai Sahin Im Las Sofaim, that was the shear. Now Im Las Such Bo Asayikarim, so if you would use the actual roots of the spices to anoint everything, Lo Haya Bo Sofik, it wouldn't be enough oil from the roots alone to anoint everything that needs to be anointed. Now, alachas kama, how much more so there's going to be less shear of oil, shear or bole, when you fire it up, the fire, the steam, is going to end up taking some of it's going to evaporate, some of this oil. V'aitz and bolam, and the firewood's going to also absorb some of the oil. V'hayor bolas, and the vat, the pot that's using is going to absorb. V'mimenu nimshchu ha-mishkan, for still from the oil that was left over, despite all that was absorbed, was very little left, it still was used. Nimshchla Mishkan, you anointed the Mishkan, v'chol kelev, all its utensils, ha'shulchan v'chol kelev, the table and all the utensils, ha'mnor v'chol kelev, u'mimenu nim, that oil also was used, nimshchu Aaron kohen gadol, u'banav kol shivas yimei ha'mulum, all 7 days they were anointed every single day, when we met him from them, Nimshel Kohen Gadol, the rest of rest of the times of the Beis Hamikdash, every Kohen Gadol was used the Shemen and Mishcha to anoint themselves. Umlachim and the kings as well.
So it's not once a year.
No,
they took all the from a Chatzis Shekel, all the stuff to buy the ingredients.
Are you saying it was one time? They made it one time, and that was it. That's what it's saying. No. It's one time.
It cannot be not one time.
No, that's the nace that they had just one time that Moshe Rabbeinu made it, and this that lasted forever.
Oil. This is the original oil.
Oh,
right. So I guess it was once.
But I thought they used a little bit of that oil and mixed it into the new oil.
I know the Paraduma they did that. Paraduma they did do it. They do it by the Shem. It sounds like from here they didn't do that.
I mean, it sounds right. Like it.
So the Shem was like 2 kilos.
That's what it says.
Yeah. But plus the ingredients are 20 kilos.
No, 20 kilos for 800 years?
No.
We have pounds here for kilos.
The spices were 50 pounds.
What does it say?
I don't know about the...
It says, Hashem and Shel Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay, so...
So that's the one time he made it.
No. But it says also that it might mention that the Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu to specify the nest, but not necessarily. I read it somewhere.
Are you saying
it's specifically didn't? I don't know. There was never only this shemen. Why they supposed to mention and specify that Moshe did that shemen in the Midbar? And the one that wrote in Sheutam Lanes, that it's time for the Nes. Sheneesa bo sheitkayem leolam.
So that's
it doesn't mean that this specific shemen will be forever.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. I don't read it like that. Mipnei shu mipnei shenasa li Moshe Rabbeinu kedosh Hashem ve'od shenasa b'midbar sheya bo gilui shchina yoter mikol makom acher.
No.
So it comes to say that this type of shemen that was there was extra shchina and extra kedusha, but it doesn't. I don't understand from that it went one time. One shtatz one day and it was forever.
That's the ness of this shemen.
Okay.
All right, fine. That's the whole argument we don't need to get into right now.
Fine. Let's go by it then. Says the Gemara. Melech betchila tar mashicha. The king, the first time he's anointed, he requires mashicha. Melech ben melech ain tar mashicha. However, his son who takes over doesn't require. If you remember, this Gemara increases also. Says the Gemara.
My time.
I'm kum mashichayu kizehu. Because you have to get up and anoint him. The king requires Mashiach, but his son, who takes over afterwards, does not require Mashiach. Aval, when it comes to Kohen Gadol, and Kohen Gadol, afil ad asar doros, even 10 generations of Kohen Gadol, they still, each of them, tell Mashiach, and they all require their own Mashiach. V'chulun kaim la'as lavo, they all are, what's it referring to?
The Shem itself.
Okay, new point now, okay. New point now. V'chul kain l'asa lavo. And the shemen that was used, that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's going to last l'asa lavo. Ha'hu d'chsev shemen mishchas kodesh yezeh li l'dor seichem. This shemen mishchas is going to be forever, eternally. Okay. So it says the Gemara, Ein moshchin ha'mlachim el agabe ha'mayan. You only anoint a kohen, melech rather, by a spring. Shenemar v'yikavtem es shlomo b'ni al ha'preda, ashali. Varadatem also al gichun, which is the name of a spring, umashach also shemen sham tzadok hakohen, and there the kohen gadol tzadok would anoint Shlomo. V'nosan anavi was there as well. L'melech ha'Yisrael. So that's where, by the mayon, by the spring, is where they anointed Shlomo HaMelech.
I was going to say, but you can't anoint a king, son of a king. But the Gemara is about to say that.
Right, that's what. Ein Moshe Melech v'melech, el b'nei ha'machlokes. Wasn't Shlomo the son of David? David, of course, was the Melech. Why did you need to anoint him? Because there was a debate. Mipnei ma nimshach Shlomo. Mipnei machokas. In fact, why was he anointed? He didn't have to be. Mipnei machokas o shaldon Yahu, because Adonai wanted to become king.
Maybe you only have to be anointed. You don't have to be anointed if the father dies and the son takes over. Then you don't have to be anointed. Maybe here David Melech is still alive.
Yeah, we're still.
Well, they still. I mean, the Gemara says because of Machlokas, because another son was trying to take over the kingdom.
Adoniah was David's son too.
Right. Yeah, he had a lot of sons. Yeah.
Okay, I just thought of that.
There's a Machlokas Rashi Rambam. I remember
David was still alive. Not when he took over.
Yeah, he was still.
When
alive.
Shlomo took over, Shlomo didn't take over as David like in retirement. He died, wasn't. And then Shlomo.
No,
the reason he was anointed is because Adoniah was.
So he said, Shlomo will rule after me.
Yeah.
But he, after didn't, say, me. He didn't say now.
No, he wasn't.
He didn't say staying
no,
over
no, Adoniah. Adoniah did.
He took it upon himself to become king.
And he became,
right.
While David was alive.
And but then, not Shlomo?
And then Bathsheba went to David.
What?
Shlomo, I didn't get there yet. You can look at the. We can look at the.
Melachim Bet afterwards.
Okay, send the Gemara says further. Yoash.
Yeah, seems to, that's what seems to be saying. But it's the next case of Yoash. Mm-hmm. Also, that when because she was alive, because it wasn't the Atalia was alive because he was a king. Yoash was declared king while Atalia was alive. Says so that's why he needed to have anointing.
Uh-huh.
So because he was alive, that seems to be like when the person dies and the son takes over, then you don't need it. But if the person's alive, like Shlomo, right here by Yoash, then that's what he says.
Uh-huh, okay. Who's he quoting? Carbonade or something? Someone who said?
Ezra Cohen. No, just kidding. doesn't say it.
Okay. So then the Gemara says, Yoash was also anointed, even though he was the son of a king, the son of Ahaziah. He was also anointed because of the debate he had with Yoyakim. Ochiv Shea Cohen Gadamimenu. So, because his brother was 2 years older than him, so he therefore needed to be anointed to show that he was the right one. Yehu was anointed Mibnei Yoram because he wanted to take over the Machlokas. So we see a number of cases in history. There's not a new thing that there's a Machlokas who was going to be king, but every time there was a Machlokas and one was a son from the previous king, you needed a Mashiach. So this Machlokas Rashi Rambam, Rashi increases the Rambam, if I remember correctly, that is a point of this Mashiach, that just, it's not a real Mashiach. The real Mashiach is only when you're the first time king. The son of a king doesn't need it. It's simply just to make people stay away and realize who the true thing is. The other pin, I forget who says which one, once is a Machlokas, so it loses the Yerusha of Malchus. See, it's basically starting all over again. You need the Malchus B'tchila.
Because it's not clear. I mean, it's not 100% sure right. That he was really...
So that's Machlokas Rashi Ram. How in... how
the truth fundamental. Is, let's say the Bechor was supposed to be the king and the second one comes. He could be... He couldn't need Mashiach because he's really not the Yor.
Could be also. Maybe the Yerusha only goes to the Bechor. If the Bechor is not worthy of it and it goes to the second one, it's not Medin Yerusha.
Right.
Maybe. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Lo King Siv, does the Pasuk not say, Kum Mishachayu Kizehu? Is that Tom Mishicha Vein Malchay Yisrael Tom Mishicha? Only Malchus Beis David requires it. But not Malchay Yisrael. They don't require Mishicha. So, Ella, Yehoachaz Mipnei Yehoyakim, Achiv, Sheh Godum Menu Shteh Shanim, Vichi Lo Yishol. So what's the answer, though?
How can he anoint him?
Another question. There's no Shaman Mishka by then also. The second question. Yoshio hid the Shaman Mishka. So Hada Amra, that's what they say. It wasn't a real Shaman Mishka. So that answers both questions, I guess. You're right, only Malchus Beis David required it, not Malchus Yisrael. It was just a nice little thing, a nice minhag they kept going with non-Shaman Mishka oil. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Ein moshchin ma'amlochim ela min hakeren." You only use a keren, a shofar of some sort, to do the mashicha. Shaul v'yehu nimshchu min hapach from a jar, a jug. V'ha'isa malchus on malchus overis, and their kingdom didn't last. But you have to use from a keren, from a shofar, to do mashicha properly, and then it's a guarantee that the kingdom will last within your family. David Shlomo nimshchu min hakeren ha'isa malchus on malchus kayamis, and theirs did persevere through the history.
Because the flask usually made, it says brings down that made from clay, so clay breaks, it easily breaks earthenware.
Oh, that's the pshat they're saying.
The horn of an animal, so it's much more durable.
Interesting pshat. Okay.
Is that from the Marsha to Megillah?
Okay.
Thought that was an Ezra chidush.
Very good. Ein moshchin, the Gemara continues. Kohanim.
Malachim. I was going to say something else. I was going to say that the horn is, you see the long chauffeurs, the long horns, mm-hmm. So that's a symbol of it, of a flask, because usually a little you know.
Just write it in.
We have some space for anybody.
Yeah,
the Gilyonos of Ezra. Okay, the Gemara says now, Ein Mosh Chin Karnim Lachem.
We learned Ezra Sofer.
Ezra Sofer, right. Ein Mosh Chin Karnim Lachem. You can't make a Kohen into a Melech. A Kohen to Kohen and a Melech to Melech. But you can't make a Kohen into a Melech. How do we know this? Says the Gemara, Amar Rebbe Yehuda As Antunadra. Okay, thank you. It must be some Greek word, name, place. Al Shem, the Pasuk says, Al Yasser, Lo Yasser Shevet Mehuda. So the Shevet, reference to the Malchus, does not leave the Shevet Yehuda, and certainly does not go to
Shimon HaTzadik was both.
Shimon HaTzadik was a Malchus, yeah? Well, as the very apropos for today, Rosh Chodesh Kislev, the Chashmonaim. That was what...
Shimon HaTzadik was?
Yeah, Shimon HaTzadik was the first one who... He became Kohen Gadol and he became himself. He means himself a Melech. It was really the Chachamim were very upset at it.
Uh-huh. At what time?
In Chanukah time.
Oh yeah.
He was the last one of the Chashmonaim. Yeah, and he was the last one of the Sanhedrin.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay,
interesting.
So that's why the Chashmonaim were. The Gemara Bava Basra says that anybody who says they're from the Chashmonai family, we don't believe them because they all got wiped out. Why did they get wiped out? I think the Ramban explains Al Torah and Parshas Vayechi, based on the pasuk Lo Yashu Shevet Yehuda, that since Kohanim cannot make themselves Melachim and Chashmonai made themselves into Melachim, they were punished. Okay, so that's our connection to Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Says the Gemara now, Rabbi Chiya Bar Ada.
It could be that they said Ed Lasot Lashem, you know, Eferu Torotecha. Maybe they were like, "This is the time we have to, because there's just nobody appropriate. So we're gonna do it." I mean, they it just seems like as if they it doesn't make sense to me that they'd be like, "We want to be kings." It just doesn't make sense. No, they saw the need to do it, so they did it, but they still got punished for it.
What are you saying?
Ace Lasso, she's saying. No one else stepped up.
It was during the time of the Chashmonaim. It was
only
him.
He went with the other brothers.
Yeah, but
the other
brothers didn't do it. Then they could have given it over.
The other brothers didn't do it. It was only Shimon HaTzadik who did it. The other
one. They had to do it, but you don't know Chashmon Shamayim.
No, once
they
got,
they knew something. Maybe I don't know.
No, they had. No, once they got it, once they settled things down, then they should have. Found the appropriate Shev Yehuda guy.
There's a note here, in exceptional circumstances, a member of another tribe can become king, but he is not anointed.
The union was that he was Kohen Gadol and king, not that he wasn't from
Shevet Yehuda.
Yeah, from David.
Okay.
So Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ada, Laman Yerichu Yomecha Al Mamlachto, Hu Vano Bekerv Yisrael. Maxid Basrei, Lo Yelakarnim Halavim. So in this very pasuk, where is this pasuk in Devarim rather in Shoftim? So they're talking about that this is the Parshas Hamelach when the who becomes a Melach. Right afterwards, it says the words Lo Yelakarnim Halavim Kol Shevet Levi Chelak VeNachla. So what's the juxtaposition of the mitzvah Melach to the Kohanim's lack of Chelak, lack of Nachla? Tell me that they cannot become. That's the source. They cannot become a Melach. So again, the first pasuk told me that only Yehuda is allowed to be melech. This pasuk in Shoftim is telling me explicitly that Kohanim Levim cannot be melech. Like additional lav almost.
So it's machlokes, right?
So. I'm not sure it's machlokes. It says here.
He says one or more holds, the first or more holds that you can, under circumstances, another shave it can become.
Uh-huh.
And he's holding that, no. Only has to be.
Okay.
I mean, Kohanim Levim, referring to Kohanim Levim.
He quotes Bami the Ramban on Parsha Be'achi that I just mentioned.
Right. Okay. That's right.
Fine.
It
wasn't covered either. Then the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hu Yochanan? So Hu Yoahachaz? So when it says Yochanan, the Pasuk in Devar Yomim, the Pasuk says, I'll read the Pasuk, I have it here on the side, Uvnei Yoshiyah HaBechor Yochanan, Hasheni Yoyakim, Hashlishi Tzidkiyah, Arvi Shalom. So the word name Yochanan is mentioned in Devar Yomim, the children of Yoshiyah. He's also Yehoacha that's mentioned elsewhere in Sefer Melachim. Is this one of the same person? But v'haksiv ha-bachor Yochanan. If we're saying Yochanan mentioned Divrei Yamim, the pasuk says that Yochanan was a second child. So sorry, that
Yochanan who ha-bachor.
Right. Pasuk means Divrei Yamim says Yochanan was b'chor. But we said earlier that wasn't Yehoachas was younger than his older brother by 2 years. So how could Yochanan be the Bechor? Answer the Gemara, Bechor l'malchus. He wasn't the firstborn, but he was a Bechor in terms of being worthy of being the king. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Hu Shalom Hu Tzidkiyahu. It says that Tzidkiyahu had a... interesting. The Pasuk Divrei Yamim, it says Yoshio's sons was Hashlishi Tzidkiyahu, Harvi Shalom. They're two named, but in fact, the Gemara is telling us the same exact verse. Haksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say Hashlishi Tzidkiyahu, Harvi Shalom, the two, a third child and a fourth child, two different people. Shlishi Litalados, he was the third one in terms of the one being born. Barvi Lamalchus, he's the fourth one in terms of worthy of being king. Becoming king, actually. He actually became king, but becoming king.
He was the third one born in the order of birth, and he was the fourth one to the throne, if it got to him needing to get there.
Interesting that they're missing a kid. One of the kids are not mentioned in the Pasuk.
He's in yeshiva.
They have four kids, but I'm only mentioning one of them is twice. So, okay.
Because it seems that he was a grandson, took over before his brother.
Yeah, that's what happened.
So it seems that it's not missing a brother, but the son of Yoyakim took over. Yoyakim was took over before his uncle. Before
I was clear is that we all have to learn Tanakh much more.
that's for sure.
That's clear. Okay, so like says the Gemara, why was he called Tzidkiyahu? Should Tzidek Allah Midas Adin, the Midas Adin overcame him. Tells me on the side here that all his sons were shecht in front of him. That's the Gemara in Gittin, I think it was, and they blinded him to get his eyes. So that's what is Tzidek Allah Adin. That's what means Tzidkiyahu.
Who did what? Shetzidek Alamek Sheshachat Melech Bavelet Banav Leinav. Melech Bavel was slaughtered who?
Accepted punishment. He accepted whatever punishment, whatever din, judgment.
Tzidkiyahu made a deal that he wouldn't, that he would just be, you know, submissive to the,
yeah, subordinate.
And he made a rebellion, even though he signed the treaty. So
against Melech Bavel,
said, you know, you stay here and we'll let you live and you'll be okay. But he went ahead and he didn't listen. So Melech Bavel got very upset.
Okay, then that's why it's called Tzidkiyahu. Now, why was he called Shalom? Shalom, he was called because Shebiyama of Shalomu Malchus Beis David. Because in his generation, his time, the Malchus Beis David had finished, no longer existed beyond that. Hadn't returned since then. Lo Shalom Havashmei, his name wasn't Shalom. Lo Tzidkiyahu Havashmei, that wasn't his name either. Ela Matanya was his name. Hadohu Dechsev, that's the Pasuk says. Malachim, Vayamlech Melech Bavel Es Matanya, Dodo Tachla Vayasev Es Shimo Tzidkiyahu. So that's his real name. His name is Matanya, and he had two other nicknames, Tzidkiyahu and Shalom.
Seems as if Melech Bavel named him Tzidkiyahu. Unless he was him himself, Vayasev
Et Shimon.
Yeah.
Huh? He called him. It says that he called, that Nebuchadnezzar called him that. That's Machlokas in the Bavli and Yerushalmi. That's what Ricky was saying. That's why he called him.
Okay. Now I'm going to go back to discuss a little bit about the Aron Kodesh. Okay, at 6:30, all right. Okay. Says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ba'ama shel shisha tvachim haya Aron Asur. So the measurements of the Aron, there are two types of amos that are used. There's a 5 tvachim amos, there's a 6 tvachim amos. So each tefach is what, a fist, a hand, so 6 of these would make an amma. So it says Rabbi Yochanan, that amma made of 6 tvachim was the measurements used for the Aron. So Mantana, Bama Shal Shisha Tvachim, the one who held that was made from a 6 tefach amma. Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Tanan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Kelim. Rabbi Meir, Omer, Kol Ha'amos, all the amos that were in the Mikdash, Hayu Ba Beinunis. We're all Beinunis, except for the Mizbech, Hazav, Karen, and other things related to the Mizbech, but beyond that, everything else had a 6 tefach amma. So Rabbi Meir's opinion that thinks that the Aron was made of a 6 tefach amma. Vihuda Omer, Amos Ha'binyan, when it came to the building of the base of Mikdash, that was used Shisha Tvachim. But when it came to Shalkelim, it was Chamisha. So he argues, Machlokas, which type of Amma was used for the measurements of the Aron. Was it a 5 Tevach Amma or a 6 Tevach Amma? So Gemara says, Al Daita, according to the Rebbe Meir, who says that it's a 6 Tevach Amma, Du Amar, that which is said, Ba'amma shel shisha tvachim haya Aron asui. When it was made a 6 Tevach Amma, Orko shel Aron, the length of it was Chamisha Asar Tevachim. It's 15 Tevachim long was the Aron. Techsiv the Pasuk tells us, Amma Saim Vachasi Arko. 2.5 amma. Each amma is 6 tvachim, so 6 times 2 is 12, plus another half an amma, another 3, that's 15. So the Gemara does a calculation for us. Amsa shisha, each amma was 6, v'amsa shisha, another 6, and then upalgus amsa, the other half, was tall. So that gives us a total of 15 tvachim. That was the length of the Aron Kodesh. V'arba luchos hayuba, and the 4 luchos were within the Aron. Shnaim shleimim, the 2 complete ones, the second luchos that were complete. And Shnaim Shurim, the 2 broken luchos. Dechsiv, as the Pasuk tells me, Asher Shibarta v'samtem Baron. That which you broke, place him in the Aron. That's the source. But we know already, again, both of them were placed in there. But this, for some reason, the Gemara only brings the Raya that the first Luchos that were broken were placed there. But we know so the second Luchos were also placed in the Aron.
Two sets.
Two
sets. There's only two sets. Each set was two.
Each set
When it says Arbach Luchos, are you?
Yeah. Each right. set had two halves, yeah. Right. Two sets of Luchos were two right. himself. So the first set of Luchos, which were two, and the second yeah. were another two, totaling four, exactly.
But didn't the whole takana of the different sizes of Amos was done by the Chacham so that the people who supply the Beis Hamikdash should actually not be moyel and give a little more than they're supposed to get? But we were talking about things that are from the time of the Beis Hamikdash, of, you know, of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right.
So I don't think is there a machlokes between what was the Amma in those days. So it's, I think afterwards they just decided to make different.
No, I think that point you're talking about, like they had a different like etzbah. Said the etzbah of the Moshe.
Else.
This is something different. What you're talking about is I know you're talking about the Mila
because
part.
We learned that they had a longer Amma for those who
right
who
just
did things
exactly this way
sure
they would any
they
surplus.
Give a little more.
But yeah, this is a different point. I think this is actually how it was done, how it was made originally, five tefachim or six tefachim. So. Using the six tefach ruler, so they have 15 tefachim long, was the aron. So, and then we had the four luchos, which are again really two sets of luchos that are placed in the aron. Haluchos, how you call echad ve'echad, each one, arko shisha tefachim, rachbo shisha. There are 6x6 tefachim. So now that gives us 6x6, two of those, that fills lengthwise 12 tefachim, leaves us over 3 tefachim. So the Gemara says, tain arkon shaluchos, la arko sha'aron, place the length of the aron. The length of the luchos connected the length of the aron. So again, 6 tefachim plus 6 tefachim of the aron, that gives us a total of 12. That allows us 3 tefachim, because there's 15 tefachim long was the aron. We're good with the math? Aron was 15 tefachim. Minus 6 of one set of luchos, minus another 6 of another set.
The whole set is 6. Like each piece is 6.
No, the whole set, right, the whole set, right?
Look in the picture, that makes sense.
Oh.
Right, you're good with, I think, rulers, right?
Yeah, but I just didn't understand.
I'm kidding. Fine, so we have 3 tefachim left. Nishtayer sham shlosha tefachim. 3 tefachim are left over. And then, tain mehem, chatzi tefach l'chol koso. Now, each wall, the length was measured from the outside of the aron, but the depth of the walls was half a tefachim each, half a tefach each. So that gives us 2, nishtayer shnei tefachim, the Sefer Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu also placed the Sefer Torah that he wrote, was placed in there as well. So the 2 tefachim length was left over for Moshe Rabbeinu's Sefer Torah to squeeze right in there.
What about the man?
That was on the outside, according to this.
That's
opinion.
According to the Mamar, the Sefer Torah was inside,
right?
This is the Mamar, the Sefer Torah
right.
was outside.
Right.
That's another one.
Right. But we'll see that, and that'll be next, right. Now, that's the length of the Aron. What about the Rachbon, the width of the Aron? Shalom? Tisha Tvachim. That was 9 Tvachim wide. Dechsev Amma Vachatzi Rachbo. That was the width of it. And Ami Vachatzi Rachbo. Amasa Ashi. So that's 6. And then Upalgus, another half, is Amsa Tlas. So that totals 9 Tvachim. So now Arba Luchos Hayubo, there again the 4 Luchos, which were the 2 sets of Luchos. Shnaim Shlaimim Shnaim Shvum, 2 full ones, 2 broken ones, the Chsiv Asher Shibarti Vesamta Baron. Well, Luchos Hayu Kolecha Vechad Arkun Shisha Vatvachim Varachman Shisha Tvachim. They're 6x6, exact. So now 6x6 sets on the width of the Aron, 9 Tvachim long, that allows us 3 Tvachim left over. So Gemara says, Tain Rachbon Shaluchos Lerachbon Sha'aron, match up the width of the Luchos to the width of the Aron. Nishtayer Sham Shlosha Tvachim, we have 9 Tvachim of the Aron minus the 6 Tvachim of the Aron of the Luchos leaves over 3 Tvachim. Now Chatzi Tevach Mikan Lekosel Zeh V'Chatzi Tevach Mikan Kosel Zeh. So each width of the walls of the Aron was a half a Tevach. That leaves us over Tvachim. So 2 left over. So Tvachim L'Shilut Makom Shesefer Torah Munach. So able to allow the Sefer Torah to come in and out, some space to maneuver to take out the Sefer Torah when needed.
And nobody asked the question, but the Luchos Shvura should take less space than the other ones?
No, okay, my understanding, again, it could be wrong, but I thought it was like broken in half. So it didn't like lose space, you just connect it back together. It wasn't like little pieces that you crumble into a ball. That's my vision of it, I don't know.
Maybe, that makes sense from this. I always imagine that he broke them in like many pieces. That you
right.
right.
That's the movie. You're thinking about the movie.
Right.
As I once heard. in
there was a movie. There was a movie like 30 years ago.
That was like,
the Ten Commandments. Yeah, 50
years.
50
years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
So I.
They played on Pesach.
Yeah.
So I once heard in 10th, 11th grade, my Rebbe said that the who was it? The Malbim says that the Aron, based on the Zohar, probably the Aron. Is supposed to represent the brain. So the Aron has 4 different components to it, and the brain has 4 different components to it. So he says that the broken luchos was a circle, but broken half to two semicircles. So I don't know the different types of the brain here, but so you have the broken part of the brain. It's like looks like two semispheres in the head, right? So that's the broken luchos. And then you have like the Torah scroll. There's a part of the brain that looks like a part of, like a scroll, and then like the set of luchos was like a long one unified thing. The new luchos that was represented like the fourth part of the.
So the part that we're all messed up is the broken.
I guess. But either way, from that according to that Zohar, the Malbim, it wasn't smashed. It was just broken in half.
Yeah, and it makes sense from this. It makes clear sense. I never realized it. I never thought about that. It's very interesting.
Okay, so the Gemara says now, what are we up to? Oh, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, that's what we're up to, I think, right? Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar, Ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim hayaharin asu. No, we go according to the other opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who they use the five tefach shear for the Amma. So we have to do all the math again now. Man tama ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim, this opinion holds the five tefach Amma, Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanin and Taman that we saw earlier in Kalim, quoted in Meseches Kalim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amma Habinan Shisha, when it came to the Binyan, it was six tefach that were used. Shalah Kalim Chamisha, Vahain Aaron Klihu, and the Aaron was a Kli, of course. So, interesting line, that was a Kli.
No, I thought it was part of the Binyan. I was wondering about that before myself when he was mentioning it and he said Kli. I thought the Aaron was not a Kli.
It was portable,
that's why it's a Kli.
What is that again? The Mizbeach.
Yeah, all these things were Kalim, yeah.
They were?
Yeah, they're all, exactly, they're all portable. So they all were considered Kalim. See, I was interested because that fact was called a Kli as opposed to itself a form of a Kapara. It's a type of Kapara, the Aron. But, okay. So says the Gemara, Al-Daite de Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Du Amar, Ba'amah shel chamish tvachim, who held five tvachim amas were used. Hayu arkel asu shnayim esar tevach umechza. So the length was actually 12 now. The chsiv chamasayim v'chetzi arko. That was the pasuk tells us 2.5 amas. Amsa chamisha v'amsa chamisha. 5 plus 5 amas, that's 10. And then palgus amsa, then a half is treu palge. That's 12 and a half. So about 12 and a half amos. 12 and a half tvachim, rather.
So they were very snug.
Right. Now, varba luchos, hayuba. There are four luchos that were in there. Shnayim shlemo, shnayim shrum, dechsiv asher shibart v'sam tevaron. Okay, the pasuk we keep bringing. Uva luchos hayakol echad v'echad arkon shisha artvachim v'arachman shisha tvachim. They're all 6 by 6. So now, if you line everything up, tain arkon shaluchos l'arkon sha'aron. So you have 6 tvachim now of aron. That's totals 12. That leaves over only half a tefach, which is really 2 etzbos, because a tefach is really 4 etzbos. So half it's only 2 etzbos. So it happens over, we have Nishar Sham Chati Tefach, because Etzbal Kosa Mikan, Etzbal Kosa Mikan, so how does it work out exactly?
Oh, it's fine. It fits exactly.
Now, how do you have half but there's leftover half a Tefach, though?
No, it wasn't inside.
Oh, so you left half Tefach. Oh, then you have a Tefach, and then one Etzbal for this one, one Etzbal for that one, you have nothing. Exactly. Right. Everything's perfectly snug. It's right. Perfect.
So the thickness is only half a
Tefach. Exactly. That's my focus. Before we said it was half a Tefach.
The thickness is a quarter each side, right. So you could have.
Okay, fine.
Before we said each wall was 2 tvachim,
no. Can you build that or not?
Actually, I read somewhere, I do not remember where, very vaguely, that there was a nest, that they all, whatever inside the Aron, was larger in size than the Aron, it says, but even though it fit perfectly, that it was the nest, that by math, it was much bigger.
So that's talking about the Aron fitting inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, I believe. The size of the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Aron didn't work out so well. So there was the Aron didn't fit into the Kodesh Kedoshim. The measurements didn't work out. The entire Aron. So that was the nace. Not that the luchos fit inside, but the Aron placed into the Kodesh Kedoshim, that didn't work out. That was some type of nace, how it squeezed in there. Okay, let's go further now. We're doing good with time, actually. Great with time.
According to this, the Sefer Torah was outside.
Exactly. You have to say, right, the Sefer Torah was outside. Wait, so Erez is building the Aron for us?
We have to make sure he understood.
Who's Amot am I measuring? I'm going to wait. Moshe Siderbaum is going to give me all the measurements.
So Kate said, so Betzal as Aron. How did Aron, build the Aron? By the way, I think this whole Gemara here was the Gemara Numa also. It's a parallel Gemara Numa and maybe Rosh Hashanah as well. What?
Did you do that with Rochav and everything?
Where are we? Where
did I skip? Did I skip?
I'm also not finding
where we are. Rochav Shal Aron.
Okay, sorry. Rochav Shal Aron, thank you. Shiva Tvachim Umechza. The width of it was 7.5 Tvachim. Dichsev Am Vachatzi Rachba. An Am and a half was the width. Amasa Chamisha, that's 5. Palgus Amasa Tre Palga, that's 2.5, totaling 7.5. Arba Luchos Hayubas, Shaim Shlemo Shaim Shroom Dichsev Asher Shibarta Vesamtim Baron. Haluchos Hayubok, Kalecha Vechad Arka and Shisha Tvachim, Rachman Shisha Tvachim. So we have 7.5 Tvachim wide. Minus 6 tvachim from the luchos, and then each one was an etzba that leaves us a tefach left over, I think, right?
Right.
Okay, fine.
1.5 tefach.
One half tefach, but then each
wall was a quarter, so you have quarter, so you're left with one tefach inside. So inside right. the aron, they went half and half on each side.
On each side, half and half, right, okay. Right, the Gemara says that explicitly, Tain rachbon rachbon shal aron, v'nishtah hasham tefach u'mechta, etzba l'kosa mikan, etzba l'kosa mikan, chatzi tefach mikan, chatzi tefach mikan, l'shila, to allow, to add in the masifta here, why do you have to have any room, to allow you to remove the luchos when it was be'esat tzorech, shlo b'dochach. I don't know what that means. When would you ever need the luchos to be taken out?
But that's fix them.
To fix them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Oh, wow.
Not them, when the Aron needed fixing.
I know the Aron needed fixing. I knew the base of Mikdash required. I didn't know that the Aron,
Kalim. I thought they were never opened ever.
Right.
What? No, what? The Torah. Well, if you held that the Torah was inside,
they took to fix it. Yeah.
Then they took out the Torah once a year. It said on Yom Kippur.
That was they used that one. No, they used one in the Azara.
Right,
a different one.
That was a different one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I also thought there was a different one.
Yeah.
Why would they need to let the Kenoto though? There was.
No, they're traveling with it. They're banging it.
In Bet HaMikdash? Or are you talking about now about the Mishkan?
No, but even before, let's say, they placed it took it, and they held it for like 8 months.
Well, I thought they had a special set of Torah that was in the Azara.
They fixed it before they put it in, but after they put it in during the
point to Rashi, it was taken out in Kippur. It was read by the Kohen Gadol for Hakol.
Right.
Even when they fixed it, they could have.
According to Tosfos over there, it was never taken out except for maintenance.
Okay, very interesting.
Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds that it was taken out for the coin to the melch to read.
We learned this before.
Tosfos, Bob Basra, but Tosfos holds that it's not, never removed
from here. And it was a separate because the melch had a chiyuv to write his own Sefer Torah and read from it.
That was a
different one.
Right, different
okay,
one.
Let's try again. We have 15 minutes left. It goes quickly. That's the one. Ketzad asa b'tzal atzar. How did b'tzal bake the arum? V'chanina omer shlosh tevos also. We made 3 boxes. Okay, Erez, take a note of this. Okay,
yeah.
So shtaim shel zav, 2 of gold, v'achas shel eitz. One of them was wood.
Nosan shel zav.
Nosan shel zav v'shel esoch shel eitz. They first put the golden box in the wooden box, and shel eitz besoch shel zav. Then they put the wooden one into the outer golden one, v'tzipo, and they would line it. They would cover it and seal it with gold on top of it. Dichsiv. It's all covered in gold.
This is basically, this is before Rashi
in the Torah. Rashi explained it. No, it's before we read Rashi, but it's not that clear. Maybe intuitive, but b'tzipisa osa zav tor mi bais mechutz ma tamalomer titzapenu. What does that mean? Lavi esvasa hel yona to have gold, put gold on the top where there's that space in between the boxes. Rabbi Shimon Lakishamar, he argues and says no, teva achas aso. There's one box, that's it. B'tzipo, and they covered it, so it wasn't so clear. I guess it's about chlokus how to understand it. Yechsev b'tzipisa osa zav tor mi bais mechutz. You take one box and you just put gold on the outside. The ma tamalomer titzapenu. Amar Rabbi Pinchas lavi bein nesel and eser. So just it's a penny a second time. So come to teach me. There's different the different gaps to make sure the gaps were filled in.
What's the meaning of this word?
Which word?
The four vertical words to one horizontal word.
So the spaces between the pieces,
had to be filled in.
The piece that you cut.
So they were supposed to be before they put them together. The edges were supposed to be covered with gold.
This way you.
It wasn't made out of one piece of plywood. It was more made out of
four and one.
Right. So each wood was first metzupe, and then they put them together.
Correct. That way,
according to the second one, it was.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And that actually might be machlokas. We saw before how wide the aron was. The walls might be whether it's 3 boxes or 1 box. That might be why you have a one esbel versus 2 esbels.
Okay.
So I think more further. How were they written? This is a very interesting discussion here. How were the luchos written? Rabbi Hanania, Hanina ben Gamliel, Omer Chamisha al luchazev, Chamisha al luchazev. Each one had 5, as we know. There are 2 luchos. Each one had a list of the 5 dibros. Mehadahu dechsev. That's what the pasuk means. Vayichtevei ma'ashnei luchos avonim, Chamisha al luchazev, Chamisha al luchazev. Okay, that's the first opinion. Second opinion says, Rabban Amri, Asar Aluchozeh, Asar Aluachzeh. Each one had 10. Your entire Seres Dibros were repeat, not repeat each one, but the first one had 5, and you repeated the same 5 the first time. And the second Luchos had the second 5, and the second 5 again. It each repeated them twice. So again, first 5 on the first Luchos, and again, first 5 on Luchos. And second set was 6 through 10, and 6 through 10 again. I don't know why. Very interesting. But 10 on each. We only had 10 Dibros, that's for sure.
Right.
But the first set had 1 through 10, 1 through 5 rather, repeated again 1 through 5 on the first set.
Right.
So why would he come exactly to complete? Why would he come down from the mountain?
Was on the second one. No, on the first
set. How is it organized?
I have two luchos. These are my luchos right here. The first set.
The first set.
First set. This is the first set. One and one. First set. This one over here had 1 through 5. And 1 through 5 again. This one here, this is still the first set. 6 through 7. Sorry, I'm using your phone. 6 through 10 and 6 through 10. So.
6 through 10.
No, the number which is Dibra.
1 to 5 line and the same Dibrot again twice. 1 to 5.
It might have been written.
That's all he's saying.
What does he say here?
He's saying that for Rashi that 10 there were 10 on each Luchos.
10 with 20 Dibros now.
Right.
It seems that they had 10 on
all the commands were inscribed on each of the two tablets. Rashi, Cirilio, and Proben Eder. There's another opinion that holds that there was Yisro and Eschanan.
Right.
Okay, but then the first opinion is that whatever was written on the first one, whichever, either Yisro or Eschanan, whichever one was written, on both.
From 1 to 10
and 1 to 10, right.
But what they say, another opinion is that it was written on each side. Each side had a 1 through 5 and 1 through 5. They said both sides could read it. That makes a lot more sense. So 1 through 5 and then 1 through 5.
I thought part of the miracle was it was burned through.
Right.
And you could see it from all directions.
Exactly.
Only the first one, the second one.
Right. We're talking about the first ones here also. Yeah, these are the first ones anyways. Okay, let's keep going.
Go.
How do they know this? Because Hadu Dichsiv Vayagei Lachem Es Briso Asher Tziva Aschem Lasos Aser Shadvarim.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, by saying 10, meaning there was 5 and 5 on each side.
Exactly. Okay. So Asar Aluach Zev, Asar Aluach Zev. They each had 10 on each part of the Luchos. So says the third opinion now, Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, gets more interesting. As Esrim Aluach Zev, Esrim Aluach Zev, each one had 20. Dichsiv Vayichtevim Al Shnei Luchos Avanim, Esrim Aluach Zev, Esrim Aluach Zev. I'm not sure how the 20 were written, but that's the third opinion.
So you wrote all 10 twice.
I guess maybe on each side. Rabbi Simai Amar.
Where does the word Esrim come? I mean, I can understand 10 because it's Vayichtevim Al Luach Zev, but why 20? This is 4 times.
Twice.
Either means 10, either means
yeah,
10 and 10.
Or even twice
on the same side.
Now you're talking about the
either twice on the same side, or 1 10 on the other side.
It gets better though. You think that was hard? Rabbi Simai Amar, Arba'im Aluach Zev, Arba'im Aluach Zev. 40. Dichsev Heim Mizeh Umizeh Heim Ksuvim. Some extra words, this and this. 10 and 20 were written on both sides. 20, 20, 40, 40.
Tetruga.
This is some interesting math. Tartruga. Okay, that means what? That was a square.
Four.
So every single side was written. So any direction you could look at it, let's say you're sitting at a table, you put it like flat down, we all could see it from different sides.
The shuls would have a hard time for the.
Right.
You have to put 40 there. Sorry, it's fine.
Starting early today, right?
No, 7 o'clock.
Okay. Now, one other opinion about the Luchos. Chananya ben Achi, Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, Bein Kol Dibra V'Dibra, in between each of the Dibros. It says, Dikdukea, Vosi Yosea, special drushes were written in between, Shel Torah, Dichsiv Mimulam Batarshish. What does that mean? Mimulam Batarshish, they say, was Kayama Rabba, like a large sea was written. So, so he's explained, just like the large sea is filled with tons of small fish, so too this large luchos was filled with small little mitzvahs in between each line, written like in tiny letters, like little footnotes between each dibur. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish kad hava mati haden cry. When he got to this pasuk, hava amar, he would say, Yafal limadani chanani ben achi Rabbi Yeshua. He taught very well this idea to us. Ma hayam hazeh bein gal gadol, between each large wave, there's galm ktam, there's small waves. Kach bein kol dibur b'dibur, dikduke avosiyasa shatar. Between each large dibra, there were small little waves, small little dukim and drushes that were written in between. So again, five different opinions, how exactly the luchos were written. Okay, let's just finish up before the Mishnah. We still have 7-8 minutes. Amar Rabbi Tanchuma Iskashias Komai had a question in front of Rabbi Pinchas Asya Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda,
if it works out according to Rabbi Yehuda,
like
if it doesn't
like
work out according to Rabbi Yehuda,
okay. Avilo Asya Remeir. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda make more sense? Rabbi Yehuda again said that we were five tefachim amos were used, and therefore a sefer Torah was placed on the outside of the Aron. So why does Rabbi Yehuda seem to be more logical? The pasuk says, "Lakoach a sefer Torah hazeh v'samtem also mitzad Aron b'sashem, placed outside because seemingly there is no room in the Aron Kodesh." Now, Dai to the Behuda, Du Amar, Heichan Hayasevah Tarna. So, where was it placed? Kamin Gluskia, Asoy Lomi Bechutz. There's a little box placed on the outside of the Aron, Vahayasevah Tarna, Nasun Besocha. That's how it's understood according to Rabbi Yehuda. My time with Rabbi Meir. Why did Rabbi Meir think Sefer Torah was placed within Aron Kodesh? Dichsiv Nosates Akaporos Al Ha'aron Milmala. You place the covering on top of the box, on top of the Aron. Ve'al Ha'aron Titain Asaidus Asher Tain Alecha. And the Aron, you place the Eidus, the Torah, inside the Sefer Torah. This is out of order because if the kaporos is played, the pasuk says you place the kaporos and then you place the Torah. How can you place the Torah in the aron if you already placed the cover on top? So you have to say ein muktam mukhar b'torah. It's out of order. Ella vel aron tiden as edus asher etain lecha. So what does that mean? The way you have to understand the pasuk is first you place the edus, the Torah, inside the aron, and then you place the covering outside, on top of the aron. Then. Right?
That's Rabbi Yehuda?
That's according to Rabbi Meir, who held that the Sefer Torah was inside the Aron Kodesh. You have to explain the pasuk to mean out of order. And then the Gemara concludes, Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish HaTorah Shenasun LaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Nitnalol Eish Levana Harusa B'Eish Shecharo. It's written like fiery black fire on top of white fire. That's how it's written. He Eish Muvleles B'Eish. It was mixed with fire. Chatsuva Meish. It was carved out through fire. Unusunab Meish, it was given from Moshe, from Akash Baruch Hu through Eish. Dechsiv miyamino Eish das lama. And it was, everything was through Eish, through fire. Okay.
Shkoyah. That's good. We made it.
Is it according to Yehuda?